Where's the intro?
Fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
You mean fuck?
You might or might not skip over the now 2 minute long sponsor on Patreon list. At the beginning of every episode, he like reels off every single username of every single donator.
I'm not sure if I know what Pottermore is.
It's the podcast where a grown man who's never read Harry Potter and only saw one or two movies randomly reads through and reacts to Harry Potter.
Mm.
And he's a jock and a normal dude, so he thinks he's going to hate it, but he wanted to have something to talk about with this cute girl who he eventually married.
Mm-hmm.
And he read through Harry Potter and slowly fell in love with it.
Is that why? Yeah, you and Yasmin brought that up like in one of the earlier episodes about doing that, except for One Piece.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, it's going to take like 1,000 episodes.
If we do one chapter an episode, then it'll take 2,000 episodes.
And with that being said, welcome to J-Pop Jewels vs. The World. Thank you for joining us. It's been a while. I am at Scenic Rachel's house with Rachel.
Very scenic. There's a lot on the floor today.
But also, maybe we should do that. Yeah, that actually does sound like a good idea. We'll get together, you being Yasmin, and we'll do that. Even though all of us have seen One Piece.
I think what's difficult about like our group doing like a reactionary piece is that 90% of the hilarity of your reactions specifically are the incredulous faces you make every time something fucking stupid happens and you can't process it.
I mean, for those specifically, I wouldn't mind like being on camera and then like having it be audio and like put the rest on YouTube.
I think it's bonus content.
People don't get
to see how funny your face is until they shell out. Not that we charge for this. What are they shelling out? Like snaps in a cafe.
Likes. Mm. Maybe water if they see my face and do a spit take.
Shell out that water, bitches.
Yeah. Also, speaking of, I think they finally got to, spoilers for anybody who's behind in One Piece for some god-awful reason, because you have to be really far behind and not know this. They finally animated the Kaido versus Yamato and Luffy fight. It looks really nice.
That shit's good.
Like, it looks like Demon Slayer fight level of fucking hype. It made me kind of want to watch.
I actually haven't watched that fight. I only read it.
I haven't watched it. I've just seen clips on, like, Twitter, and I was just like, oh.
Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a reaction right now.
Are we?
We'll pause the recording,
okay.
And then we'll come back in exactly 2 seconds listener time to see how it went.
Okay, sounds like a plan to me.
2 hours later.
So we're back.
Who animated that?
See, what happened was, Oda has a time machine, and he went back to feudal Japan, and he got some artists from feudal Japan to help him animate this, because that is the only explanation for how he pulled that off without, like, a couple $100,000 just to put into an animation budget.
Also, I really love that Yamato is absolutely baseball moves junior. In this fight. it was beautiful, yeah. Yeah, it was really pretty. But not necessarily consistent with everything else.
You mean at all? Like, not consistent at all with anything else?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you haven't seen it, look it up. It literally looks like something out of a feudal era Japan painting style at certain points. Like, we're looking at the, like, thumbnail right now for Luffy's face. If somebody put that in a museum and I didn't know what One Piece was, I would think that was just something they did back then. Like, somebody just painted that.
Yeah, that was cool. What were we talking about again?
One Piece. But
before that.
No, we just started off talking about One Piece.
That's a thing.
It is.
Wasn't there a live action coming out pretty soon?
We don't know if that's coming out pretty soon because it came out recently that Oda said that the Netflix live action One Piece adaptation is not going to be released until he is satisfied.
That means it's bad.
It either means it's bad or it's just not living up to his hype, which means it's probably not going to live up to the hype of anybody that's a fan of One Piece that would be watching the show.
So we haven't had many good live-action anime adaptations? I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. You said that, and I'm struggling to think of one, like, at all.
Like, I had high hopes for Cowboy Bebop. That shit could definitely live in live action, but then they made it, and it wasn't great.
I'm not even going to lie. I didn't. No.
You didn't watch it?
Because I wanted to watch it, and then, like, all the hate came out, and I was like, ugh. And then I was like, you know what, I'll give it a shot anyway, and then work happened, so I just never got around to it.
I mean, I can't even say, like, you should watch it anyway, because it's kind of okay to skip.
Let's see here. Alright, I have a list.
A list of Cowboy Bebop.
No. A list of CBR's 10 air quotes best live action anime adaptations.
Uh-oh. Okay, I didn't know there were. Let's see if this is real.
I didn't know there were 10, so that's. Gintama. I didn't know Gintama had a live action, but there's no way a live action Gintama is any good.
I don't know. It's comedy.
It's more like I feel like Gintama as an anime is just too random and out there for you to make it live action.
The comedic timing is also hard.
Yeah.
It's a physical comedy.
Death Note, which we know wasn't. No.
There were a couple. Wait. There were a couple interpretations of Death Note, and they were all pretty mediocre.
Actually, they're talking about the Japanese ones. They're not talking about the American ones. Yeah, so I'll give them a pat. The Japanese ones were okay. They weren't horrible. They weren't as bad as the English, as the American one.
Considering the source material, they have an excuse.
Mm. Nana?
Oh, I haven't seen that, but I bet that would be cool. Nana is that shoujo about the girl who meets the girl in the rock band, and they're both named Nana.
Another thing I didn't know had a live action.
That would be a good one. It's 2005, apparently. Wow, we're old.
Yeah, very. Let Me Eat Your Pancreas?
That's...
I haven't seen the anime, so I can't say anything.
I haven't even heard of that. What is this?
I haven't seen the anime, Pancreas. So I can't say. apparently JoJo had a live action.
I need another drink. I don't want to think about that.
Blade of the Immortal. Oh. There are a lot of these on this list that I didn't know were anime. Grand Blue.
Lame.
I didn't see Alita Battle Angel, but I heard from people that it was not great, but it was good.
I mean, it was also mediocre, unfortunately.
Mm. Okay, this one I can say was actually good. Alice in Borderlands.
Oh, I didn't see that. It was actually pretty good. Is that based
on an anime? I'm not sure if there's an anime out for it yet. If there is, I haven't seen it, but I know there's a manga out for it. And that's probably where they got it from.
That's an episodic thing, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Okay. And then, okay, no, I disagree with this last one. The last one they have is Rurouni Kenshin. All the live-action Rurouni Kenshins weren't good. I think there were, like, 1.5 that I thoroughly enjoyed.
I haven't seen any Rurouni Kenshin.
Mm. Like, they weren't all horrible, but, like, there were certain ones that were definitely better than others. Mm. But, There's definitely some really shitty live-action anime.
All I know is that One OK Rock did an ending theme for one of the Rurouni Kenshins, and it was bad.
Wait, the song or the movie?
I heard both.
What song?
I don't remember.
I'm gonna have to look that up later.
Yeah.
But, if Oda's not letting them release it, then I feel like I'll wait. Because the last thing we need is another Dragon Ball situation.
I feel like if anybody can change the tides of this situation we're in, where every single live-action adaptation is awful and embarrassing and cringy and poorly timed, then it's probably Oda.
Yeah, because not only does he have like one of the longest-running anime series ever, but also... Who's going to tell him no? Like, he's one of the biggest creators in the industry.
Yeah. And he could probably personally fund it. If he wanted to.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, all the anime money, the manga money, the merch money.
Yeah.
the video game money. There's so much money in One Piece.
And yet he has no time to spend it on.
That's sad. Has he ever taken, like, a hiatus? Like, ever? Like, a documented one?
I think he takes, like, short breaks. Like, he'll take a week off to work on other things. And working on those other things is his vacation, maybe.
That's insane.
I don't know. If you're working on your passion, then every day is fun, they say.
That's true. I hope to know about that one day.
You mean your passion isn't customer service?
Oh, God, no.
You mean your passion isn't... yeah, what
quick,
happened?
Really, really quick, just... So...
Lay it in.
I'm trying to retell this story in my head so that I don't give off where I work. Mm. So, a customer orders online, meaning they put in their order on their own, right? Like we all know how this works. Like, when you order things online, you're placing the order. Like, nobody at the store or anything is doing that for you. So, whatever you put in, you put in.
Yeah.
So, she places her order. We get it. We make it. She comes to the store, gets the food, and then leaves. About an hour later, I get a phone call. She's fucking livid, saying that we messed up her order. She didn't order this, she didn't order that. So I pull up the receipt, and I read everything off word for word. And she's like, no, you guys made a mistake. I didn't order that. You changed my order. And she came back to the store with her receipt and then tried to tell me that the receipt was different. And I was like, ma'am, I'm not trying to call you stupid, but I need you to read this receipt. And then she read the receipt again. After reading it out loud the first time and switching words, she actually looked at it, like, in front of her face and read it. It looked like she died. Like, her face turned gray. And she ran out of the store.
Oh my gosh.
So fast.
That's amazing.
It was. But yeah, no. Customer service is definitely not my fucking passion.
Vindicated.
But yeah, good shit on Oda making sure that it's quality, because if your like property's title is going to be attached to something, then it makes sense that you'd want it to be as good as it can possibly be.
I'm feeling like we're going to see like sprinklings of news over the next couple of weeks of like, oh, One Piece is back to shooting, oh, One Piece live action is still shooting.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Because, I mean,
we shoot the whole thing from different angles.
Because the only thing that I can think of where it's like he would say something like that is if it did need reshoots, or if it was like something with special effects that he didn't like, which I could also see being the case, because sometimes special effects are hit or miss.
He could also just not like the performance of an actor.
Oh, that would suck if they had to fully like recast.
Cowboy Bebop's biggest problem was the casting of Faye. I love Faye as a character. I love that actress, but she did not do a great job in the films.
Mm-hmm.
Episodes.
Yeah, it was episodes. But,
it was sad. Okay, well, I'm optimistic, always, towards this live action. I don't know if I've said it here, but, I'm really looking forward to this live action. Whether it's good or not, it's more content.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard they made all these crazy sets, and I'm excited to see them. I heard they, you know, recruited this multinational cast. I'm excited to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there are just opportunities for, you know, more One Piece now. Yay.
And what I'm hoping this gets us is I'm hoping that this gets us the One Piece, like, I think it's in, I'm not sure if it's its own park or if it's in Universal. Somewhere in Japan, there's a One Piece, like, themed park.
Oh, it's in, like, Sky Tree or Tokyo Tower or some shit.
So it's, okay, so it's not part of Universal. I'm hoping that it gets us a One Piece land in, like, Universal.
Oh, fuck yeah. One Piece land. Is Universal making the One Piece live action?
I have no idea, but they should get the fucking rights to make a theme park out of it in America. I don't care if you're getting money from the movie or not.
Shonen Jump. The theme park business is booming. Get in here.
Oh, please. Just stay out of Florida, please. Have you... We're not going to talk about this because it's a whole fucking shit show, but have you heard about fucking DeSantis and his fucking quote-unquote war with Disney?
I heard something about it, but, you know, I'm not going to click the clickbait.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Like, so... Way back when he did his whole fucking don't say gay bill shit, like, Disney publicly came out and was like, yeah, this is fucking stupid, and we don't like it.
They're the most homophobic pieces of shit ever, though.
Apparently they're either changing their stance or they're fucking just trying to make a good name for themselves, because they fucking said it. And ever since then, he's just been, like, going on a fucking tirade. Like, they had their own, like, committee of, like, people that govern what they can and can't do, except, like, it was filled with people that were, like, their people. So, rightfully so, in that case, he was like, that needs to change. Except he was like, I'm going to put people that are going to do what I want them to do there. So, right before he pulled that off, Disney was like, hey, guys, pass a bunch of legislation that makes it so the people that are in here after you can't do anything until the descendants of the queen are all dead.
What? Is that real?
Yes. That's not the exact verbiage, but it's some crazy shit like that.
That's amazing.
So, like, nobody can do anything that until, like, so 100 years from now. But then, like...
Can't they just undo that?
No. Why? Apparently not. I don't
know.
It's
an imaginary rule, I assume.
Like, their actual, like, bylaws or whatever that, like, make it so you can't just change it. So, that happened, and then he was like, you know what? Maybe we just start adding extra taxes on the roads that go to Disney, because that's gonna hurt Disney somehow. And then maybe we build a prison next to Disney, because... reasons. So, yeah, that's what's going on with him, and it's the stupidest shit ever.
I feel like the roads around Disney are really shitty anyway, and they should have risen those taxes anyway.
I mean, they're not shitty, but, like... Raising taxes on them doesn't do anything to Disney. It just makes it more expensive for anybody that drives.
I mean, so there's a lot of wheel traffic on those roads. I mean, we're in a state with a lot of interstate traffic. So this much is coming traffic. From just, like, generalized knowledge of shitty roads.
Mm.
When you have a place with a lot of weather, like rain and snow, and a lot of sun and a lot of traffic of heavy cars and heavy trucks and equipment and construction vehicles and heavy things, you're going to wear down your roads.
Extremely fast.
Mm-hmm. And Orlando has, like, these awful, awful hot temperatures and sun and crazy rainy season, including hurricane season, I guess. And they have so much wheel traffic. Of course the roads are going to be garbage. And of course you should have a higher tax rate in those areas so you can dedicate funds to fixing those roads. And do you do that by taxing the businesses that cause those roads to get wear and tear? I think so. You don't have to tax the residents for it. It's not their fault. They probably work at the parks.
Yeah.
But yeah. Tax the rich. The theme park industry has been making money for too long. We make TV to sell toys.
Except for the One Piece theme park. If there's a One Piece... If there is a One Piece theme park over here, we reserve the right to take that out for them. At least until after we go there and determine if it's good or not.
Have you ever been to a theme park?
I mean, in general?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, rides and shit?
Yeah. I've been to Disney. Like, my family took me to Disney a lot as a kid. Because we had family down there, so, like... And we also had, like, family reunions in Georgia and Atlanta every, like, other year.
Wow.
So we were always, like, down there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I went when I was a kid. But it didn't leave a big impression.
Mm-mm.
There are photos of me just really confused in the fountains. And those were taken last year, but there are really similar photos. They're really similar photos of me in Florida as a child. also confused in front of fountains.
Was it just like you looked at the fountain and was like, how does this work?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I was a kid.
I could see that.
Yeah. I don't know. I might feel like... I don't know. Recently, some of my friends have gone to the Disney parks or other parks. And maybe I'll go with them. Maybe I won't. But when I do, I just feel really old. Surrounded by kids and screaming and, you know, colorful things and stuffed animals.
Yeah.
I just feel really old.
I understand. I mean... Like, I was there not too long ago, you know. But, like, it... Honestly, I just... Like, you feel it, but... At some point, you just gotta drown it out, or else, like, everything up here, kids are just gonna ruin it for you if you don't. Also, fuck them kids.
Yeah, let the kids ruin everything.
Yeah. I don't know them kids. I'm here to fucking see Mickey Mouse. But speaking of Disney, earlier today, me and Rachel watched the season finale of Owl House. We were extremely late, but we got to it eventually.
It was mostly just me crying. Really sobbing silently sideways on my couch. Real sad.
It was good, though.
I think I wouldn't have cried if we had watched it on mute. Because it was a real emotional trigger response to hear, like, reprisals of...
The music.
The opening and ending credit music and as battle theme music. Mm. And it was a special battle theme music that's different from the usual battle theme music because it's the last episode. I felt really, really happy with how they handled the last episode.
Dude, it was... I felt like they handled it really well.
I think they didn't necessarily need the insane high level of beautiful animation that they produced to make a great finale, but it also was really, really well done.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not going to have insane high level animation during your season finale, when are you going to have it?
During a fight between Luffy, Yamato and Kaido, apparently, where you spend your entire season animation budget on, like, a 2-minute sequence, which, you know, you do you.
No, I'm not sure which one. Oh, actually, I do know which one came out first. I was about to say, I don't know which one came out first. Maybe Owl House was like, see what One Piece did? Let's do that.
I always liked what, I don't know if we've talked about this, what Owl House does with color. They're so intentional with their color choices and their, you know, shading. It's just really beautiful for a cartoon.
It is.
Very creative. Very unique.
The color choices always feel very, like, deliberate. I also like one of the things I feel like they did better than most of the other shows that Disney puts out, the, like, character development and the character interaction, I feel it was always a high point for Owl House that kind of misses on other Disney shows.
Yeah.
Or just cartoons in general, American cartoons.
I feel like a lot of cartoons also fall into that episodic hole, but it felt right, the pacing and the entry of each episodic puzzle piece into the greater narrative of, like, Bellows and, you know, the time me-why-me stuff with Luz and all of the stuff with the Collector and all of the King stuff and all of the Ida sisters stuff. Like, it all knitting together piece by piece, season by season. I thought it was just really well done narratively.
Yeah.
Good pacing. And also a kid show, but... Doesn't have to be watched as a kid show.
Another topic of Bellows, actually. We were talking about that during the finale. He was kind of weak as a villain after he showed up on screen and had to start doing things.
Well, I don't know. I mean, He did things. I think they showed him doing things, in fact, intentionally in a way that wasn't impressive or wasn't, like, righteously scary.
Yeah.
Like, they have to show this essentially, I don't know what it is, racist, sexist, this discriminating type of person in a light of being cowardly and blindly discriminatory and fearful and lying, and, you know, they have to make the enemy all of the things that they're trying to protest against in the narrative and in the overall theme. And he's looking for this world of uniformity with no evil witches, right? That's the goal, something like that.
I honestly, I've never understood. He wants to kill witches. Yeah, that's all I've known. He just wants witches gone from this world that he shouldn't have been able to access in the first place.
Damn the witches. Isn't it all on the same earth? Oh, it's a different earth.
They're in a different, like, world.
Different world.
That he shouldn't have been able to get to, that needs to have the witches exterminated, even though, aside from the animals, there's nothing there except witches.
I feel like it's so apt. I mean, like, that's what humans would do.
Yeah, very much.
We discover life somewhere on some faraway planet, and we discover a easy way to go there. First thing people will think of, how do we kill them?
Yeah.
Or how do we eat them? That's my thought.
Why is that your first thought?
Again, with the faces. You podcast listeners are really, really missing out.
One day.
Bonus content.
One day they will get to see it. But, as the series has come to a close, overall, what would you give it as a rating for the entire series?
For the entire series, I give it an 8.3 out of 10.
8.3? 8.3. Is there a reason for the 0.3?
Yeah. They lost a bit... they lost 1 point for consistency. Not every episode was riding the same highs at the same level with the same writing skill as other episodes. So 1 point for consistency. Minus one Rachel point for being shorter than it had to be. It had to be longer. And they got the 0.3 for the three episodes.
Okay, that makes sense. Also, they're all Rachel points because they're coming from Rachel.
That's true.
I think the animation in, like, the last season, for me, makes the entire series, like, a 9. I do kind of wish that they had been, like, able to do that kind of animation maybe, like, halfway through season 2 when things started getting serious, but...
I don't know. Do you remember the fight between, and in the arena between Ida and her sister?
The choreography for that was fucking fantastic. It was
really beautiful.
That's another thing they do really well. When the fights get serious, like, the choreography, spinning of
the staffs and the weird owl stretchy heads and crazy portal shit, lasers, more lasers, people turning into different things and then turning back, and then Owlbert being an owl and then not being an owl, and then being missing for half the last episode. Where was he?
He's just never going to let that go, are you?
I don't know. I don't know if I missed it. Owlbert disappeared when the world needed him most. And then he gets to be part of the final sequence. What is that?
In Owlbert's defense.
Owlbert's defense? Why are you defending Owlbert?
Because Ida can't cast magic.
Huh. That's true.
So there was no reason for Owlbert to be there, really, other than to be an owl and be cute.
You know what? That's a good point. Never mind. I take it back.
You're welcome, Albert. I got you.
Maybe, in fact, he couldn't come out.
He could have. Because, remember, Luz's palisman was still around at the end.
But turned into a staff until she came back with powers.
Yeah, but at the very end, she had lost her powers because the Titan was gone, and he was still, like, able to do things.
Okay.
But that is our review of Owl House, which we are going to miss.
8.3.
But on the topic of things going away, let's talk about some things that are coming back really What's quick, because we talked about it earlier. I don't have any more information on it other than that Gravity Falls is coming back somehow. But there is something else that I heard that was coming back that Rachel doesn't exactly like. That Uh-oh. Futurama might be coming back again.
How many goddamn times? I like Futurama.
Let we both love Futurama.
Futurama is the best thing
yes.
that has come out of that specific set of people in production ever.
I agree.
But didn't they stop like 5 times and go back like 5 times? You don't need a 6th.
The only issue I have with them doing it this time is a big issue, but it's like they ended it really well.
Yeah.
Like they put Fry and Leela together and like...
Happy ending.
Yeah, happy ending. Twice. I think this is like the second happy ending that they've done.
Man. They deserve 2 happy endings at least, I'm sure.
They do. But I guess this kind of goes towards a problem that I think we have. Like, I'm not sure if it's the world as a whole or just America. Like, why can't we just let things die and come up with new ideas? Like, why do we always have to go back and bring things back? Like, Futurama, Disney, and their constant fucking live-action adaptations of movies that came out when I was 5.
I guess I
would... Not saying that, like, any of the adaptations are shit inherently, but just... There's so many people with so many new ideas. Like, how many Lion King movies are you gonna make? I am saying that one was shit, though. I hated the live-action Lion King. Sorry, Beyonce. I apologize.
I didn't see it. I kind of wanted to see it, but I was also kind of not excited to ruin my childhood.
Understandable.
So, ideas being new. This is a novel concept. All human knowledge is built off of previous generations of human knowledge, and all ideas that a person may have are built on top of the ideas that they have received from their experiences and from the other parts of media or life that they consume, right? So you know how music is generally like referential or like builds on the previous popular genre or builds on like combining genres and creating something new. Like the idea of there being new ideas is ludicrous, because everything is connected and everything is a progression of creativity or science or music or whatever it is. And I think this is how we get trapped in this never-ending cycle of reviving things that were already good, dead. Just because you continue to have ideas for that universe that maybe you want to implement but weren't given a chance to. And maybe having those ideas is motivated by giant wads of money.
Probably. Most likely. Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm most likely going to see the Little Mermaid movie. I shouldn't, but I probably am.
Bitches love to monetize. I'm going to see it too. That was my favorite Disney movie.
Really?
One of them. I liked Aladdin. I liked Mulan. I liked, what was it? Yeah, those two. I liked those two. But the one that I watched obsessively when I was a 5-year-old was Ariel, the Little Mermaid. For sure. And probably that was because of, you know, Bikini Mermaids. Let's be frank.
Yeah.
5-year-olds, Bikini Mermaids. That's fair. Just
that's fair. Yeah. 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 30-year-old men living in their parents' basement.
Ew. ew on all accounts. Honestly. But, yeah, all I'm trying to say is that if you're going to make a remake, if you're going to make an adaptation, just make it good. Like, don't ruin it. Mm-hmm. And how do you know if you're going to ruin it? Well, if you make it in a way where it shows how little effort you put into writing and creating your art. If you put in the effort, it'll show. Mm-hmm. If you put in no effort, it will show.
Also, if you're going to take things out, you can't take out the things that, like, people loved. Because, like, one of the biggest complaints about the Mulan movie was that, like, I could probably sing word for word every song from Mulan. Like, I feel like a bunch of people could.
Yeah.
Like, one of the biggest knocks that a lot of people had on the Mulan live action was that there were no songs. Which is fair, because technically it's a movie about war, but, like, because it was a remake of a movie that was also about war, but that had songs that would be in most people's top 10 Disney songs, like, that kind of, like, rubs people the wrong way. So, if you're gonna take stuff out, like, you can't take out the stuff that people loved about the original. And if you're gonna add stuff in, it has to be also quality, like, worth adding in. Like, for example, in the Beauty and the Beast remake, there's something that they added, which was, where the fuck was Belle's mom this whole time? Uh-huh. And they added a whole scene that was like, yeah, so Belle's mom died of the fucking plague, so, yeah, that's where her mom was. Moving on, which, I'll admit it felt like it was a little bit of an extended scene, but it was fine with me. I was like, oh, that's where her mom was. That's unfortunate.
I heard some, I didn't see the Mulan remake.
I didn't either, if I'm honest.
I heard something like, the problem people had with it wasn't just the songs. Mm-hmm. It was all of the pandering to Chinese nationalism,
I heard about that, but I didn't, like, hear any specifics.
That's probably why I didn't see it. I didn't want to, you know, get swept up into some kind of political fervor. Mm-hmm. Like half of the universe seems to be every other week over something. Like Bud Light supporting, or was it Coors Light supporting?
It wasn't even that serious. Like, it was, like, one commercial or picture or whatever. Here's the stupid thing about it.
About what?
Anybody who thinks this way, you're stupid. You're a fucking moron. Like, it's a trans thing, first of all. Like,
oh.
That's what it was. It was a, I don't even know if the person was a celebrity or what, but, like, there was a campaign with them and Bud Light, and then people started destroying their beer. But, like, here's the thing. You already had that beer. Mm. Like, you didn't buy that beer after the fact, which means this person wasn't there when you bought that beer, so you're buying beer cans that had nothing to do with this person. And also, you already paid for the fucking beer. Bud Light doesn't care if you you could take that soda can and, like, shove it up your ass and they wouldn't care.
You know what these guys are really saying? They're saying that they single-handedly support this beer company with their massive beer purchases.
Which is sad.
That's very sad, yeah.
Like,
also, that beer company, I read that they've been supporting the LGBTQ movement for decades.
Yeah.
So why are you so late to the party?
I don't.
Mr. Beer Chucker.
I haven't, because there wasn't pictures and campaigns for the other stuff, I guess. With, like, there was this guy on TikTok that broke down this entire, like, video of this guy that, like, shot up the beer. First of all, it was the beer that he was drinking. He laid out everything you just said about them having, like, done trans supporting stuff before.
Right.
And he was like, that truck you're driving, that truck also had a trans campaign.
Whoops.
It's stupid.
Well, you know what? If it's difficult for bigots to not support LGBTQ, then I would have to also say that it's equally difficult for me, as a non-bigot, quote, question mark, to not support radical Christian anti-LGBTQ. Like, I am not a super conscientious person. I have values, but I don't necessarily research 100% of the products mm-hmm. that I purchase based on the company values, quote, unquote. But I should, because the company values equates to what political campaigns they donate to.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like how that Chick-fil-A family used to donate millions and millions and millions of millions of dollars to anti-gay legislation, and nobody should shop at Chick-fil-A, but they did for years and years and years, because they care more about chicken, and I get that. I get that. It's hard.
I don't. Chick-fil-A is mid.
Yeah, what's the high, mid, low of fried chicken sandwiches in the universe as of today?
That is a very, very subjective question. Like, I have seen so many fights started over who has the best fried chicken.
Oh.
As far as chicken sandwiches go, you mean main chains, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think I would have Popeyes on top, because Popeyes chicken sandwich is pretty good. I think I would say Popeyes, Wendy's, Checkers, then Chick-fil-A, then McDonald's, then Burger King.
Burger King in
Yeah,
last.
I'm sorry. Burger King's chicken just isn't that good. Like, I would rank their burgers really high, but not their chicken.
Wendy's made the list pretty high up.
Wendy's chicken sandwich is actually pretty good. Like, their chicken is actually, it's pretty good quality.
I heard that they use pretty natural ingredients and
They
like local
do.
stuff.
Yeah. Their grilled chicken, I wouldn't put that high, but like, their spicy chicken and their regular chicken sandwich, I would put pretty high.
I've had the spicy chicken. It is not bad, and it
It's
is
not
very spicy.
very, it's surprisingly spicy, actually.
I mean, you've got to satisfy a piece of the demographic.
Yeah.
If they need it to be mild, they just have to buy two sandwiches, a spicy and a mild, and put them on top of each other, and they'll
Yeah.
cancel each other out. You'll end up in the middle.
Laughing for two reasons. The first reason is what you said. The second reason is I'll show you the video when we're done, but there is this like it's a clip from Teen Titans Go, and like it's an episode where they're talking about like the spiciness of stuff, and Robin can't handle spice. So like he's making food and he's like, "Oh, this is gonna be so spicy," and the other Titan's like, "What the fuck are you about to do?" So he boils potatoes, puts literally like a grain of salt on one, and then eats it and starts freaking
That's me. Also, you watch Teen Titans Go?
This is from a clip that I saw on Twitter, but I have seen some episodes. Fully honest opinion, some of the episodes are fucking horrible. But some of them are actually kind of good.
Right on. Again, this lack of consistency, though.
It's because, like, Teen Titans Go, the, like, most recent Powerpuff Girls show, the most recent Ben 10 show, like, anything of that
They're
ilk,
still making Ben 10.
they finally stopped, thank God.
Ugh.
But, like, it's all SpongeBob's fault. Like,
I blame SpongeBob for most things.
SpongeBob post, I'm gonna say 2012, or post when the creator or whoever it was that was involved died, I feel like it just got really mind-numbingly dumb. Like, SpongeBob was always kind of dumb, but it got to a point where it was just like put it down dumb. And like, but that kept, kids kept flocking to it. So everybody else was like, oh, you know, I bet if we bring these properties back and make them slightly more in line with SpongeBob, that it'll sell. And it did. So that's why, like, Teen Titans Go, I think, is still going. And the Powerpuff Girls wasn't exactly that. But, like, the issue with Powerpuff Girls is that they tried to make it too modern. Like, there was an episode where they twerked, and I was, like,
They're
off.
4 years, no, they're like 1 year old.
I don't know how old they were in this, but like there I was just like off. And then
Unacceptable.
the Ben 10 one, I guess, was kind of okay, because technically what they did was they rebooted him all the way back to being a kid, so it was kind of acceptable for him to be stupid. It was annoying because we saw him do all that character development and grow up, but it
And
was
you have to
kind of
make a new
okay.
story.
Yeah.
And he has to do it all
I
over
do feel
again.
like that was fair though, because there was an episode that I remember where like he met himself from all the other universes where he's an adult and where he's like grown. So, but yeah.
That's It's gotta fuck with a person's mind.
You would think so.
Speaking of fucking with minds, I think all of this is proof that people just want to be dumber.
Oh, definitely. If living in America has taught me anything, it's that people want to be slightly dumb.
There's that saying, ignorance is bliss. I'd love to be ignorant. Maybe I am ignorant. Maybe I'm happy.
No. Hey. You have too many... The word escapes me.
Too many brain
cells. Your thoughts are a little too high level for you to be labeled as ignorant.
I think that ignorance is something that you'll never recognize in yourself because you can't see what you don't see always. And it's like, say you get into a new field or you get into a new topic and you think that you're a layman and that you're going to try to get from layman level to, you know, medium or expert level over the course of a couple of readings or whatever you're doing. And then you start reading, really getting into things. And in the first or second run of things, you realize, oh my God, now I know all of these things that I don't know and I can't connect the dots. And you realize how far behind the starting line you had been when you thought you were a layman. But that doesn't happen until after you do the research. So we could all be ignorant and foolish, and honestly it's likely because, you know, science is in its infancy. Human thought is in its infancy. We've just gotten out of the Stone Ages where people would stone you to death. That's definitely why they were called the Stone Ages. For, you know, casting fire.
Roll a d20.
You did that. Yeah. But, I don't know. Life is hard. Life is hard.
It's true. But I feel
people
like...
are stupid and they want to be more stupid because life is hard. It's almost easier if you can just blame the president for all your problems.
You know what? Not gonna do that. This is not the time for that.
Oh, blaming Biden for all our problems?
No, I was about to do a whole fucking our government is stupid and doesn't function properly thing, but that's for another time.
Thanks, Obama.
You know, people are so fucking blaming him for shit.
Yeah, like, yeah, of course.
Man, has it been in office? What, it's like, how many years are we out from that? Almost 20, right?
But he had a lasting effect on America. You can't say that about every single president, that they had a lasting effect. He accomplished legislation that gave people rights, gave people healthcare, or at least access to it if they could afford it, and that made that necessary for employers to provide in some way, I'm not sure. He extended that bipartisan arm across the aisle and got things done. In a way, by the way, that Biden is doing even better than he had. The Biden administration is doing really well, and now they're reaping the benefits, even though we're in the middle of one of the worst recessions we've seen in forever. Thanks to you know who, the guy before him.
You mean Obama? Cause that's what I heard. I heard that it's Obama's fault we're in a recession.
Well, I just don't want
to... I also heard that everything happening with Russia was also Obama's fault.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Stay off of Twitter, kids. It's a dark place where ridiculous things happen.
Isn't he not allowed on Twitter anymore? Like, he made his own Twitter.
So, after Elon bought Twitter, he said that Trump could come back to Twitter, but then Trump was like, no, I'm going to stay on the succeeding platform that I don't even remember the name of at this moment.
It's like Freedom Fighters or something.
True Freedom. Social, that's what he called it.
Yeah.
By the way, horrible fucking name. Like, your social media platforms...
It just sounds like a hoax.
Your social media platforms shouldn't have the word social in it. It's redundant. Like, we don't call Facebook Social. I would actually leave Facebook if it was called Facebook Social.
I think for Trump's audience, it's the perfect name.
Oh, for his audience, yes, it's absolutely fantastic. For the world as for the world at large, it's horrible. For Trump's audience, it's fantastic.
Let's check it out. See how many.
It has the word truth in it. It makes them think they're going to be social in general when they're really just going to be in an echo chamber.
I am opening Truth Social. No privacy.
Were you aware of how many fucking things he's on trial for right now?
Dude, yeah, of course. He was on trial for a billion things before he came into office.
I thought it was just like the two. I didn't know he was like had four trials or whatever running at once.
That's his game. He's just always being sued for doing shitty things that he does. And then, you know, he...
But like, not even from a political aspect right now, just like...
Business.
At some point, no, I mean, like, what I'm about social, to say. Like, yeah. At some point, like, doesn't it just get to a point where you're like, you know what? There's too many things going on at once. I can't keep track of this shit. Let me just stop. Like, does it not get to a point where it's like, for him, it's just like, there's too much shit going on. I should kind of stop some of this shit so I can keep track of life. Because, like, if I had as many trials and shit going on as him, I would just be like, you know what? Maybe I should just shut the fuck up for a minute, because I keep getting myself in trouble whenever I talk. Not for a while, just, you know, not for forever, just like, you know, let me just shut the fuck up for, like, just, like, a month. And, like, just let shit cool down. Like, case in point, Kanye had so much shit happening, like, not that long ago. I haven't heard a fucking peep from Kanye since that whole anti-Semitism thing. Like, Kanye went away. And then, like, we didn't forget, but, like, other shit happened and then overtook Kanye. And now we're not, like, Kanye's not public enemy number one anymore. So, like, does it never, like, occur to Trump to just shut up for, like, a month? And, like...
His publicist probably doesn't force him to do that.
They should, because there's... Ron DeSantis is right there. Just shut up for... Not, it doesn't have to be a month. Like, Ron DeSantis does something stupid every other week. Just wait 2 weeks. And you'll be all good. I feel like it would get tiring, just like, and how do you even keep up with how much illegal activity you're doing to make sure that you don't get caught, which obviously he doesn't do since he keeps getting caught, but you get what I'm saying.
I mean, so, everybody plays the game different, game of life, and I suppose that to these people, power, money, getting one over, avoiding taxes, exploiting loopholes that exist and creating new loopholes to succeed more than other people and winning, quote unquote, is like their goal in life. It's their reason for living. You've got to respect a proper reason for living, even if it's exploitative and, you know, by most definitions, truly evil and ignorant and, you know, not helpful to society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how they're deciding to live. And, you know, from our perspective, looking at them, they seem like monsters. But from their perspective, looking at us, I'm sure that we seem like unmotivated little bugs who don't know how to game the system. And, like, both perspectives are wrong. We're all just human.
Mm.
And we're all just doing the things that we would like to do, whether that's exploiting, you know, employees and, you know, exploiting business law and tax law and exploiting women and using the legal system to get around all of your responsibilities and lying about who you are and what you've accomplished. And, you know, just basically brainwashing and lying to an entire population to support your weird political goals and aspirations. And into somehow trying to incite a revolution, which ended up being really sadly executed. Well, I don't know if that's winning. But, you do you, right?
Fuck it. It's my podcast. I'm gonna do it. You're right. The revolution was horrible.
My revolution will be much better.
Oh, yes, it will. You want to know why? Because I will be there, and there will be flamethrowers and katanas. They broke into the Capitol building, and then, I forget if it was Trevor Noah on The Daily Show or if it was somebody else, but, somebody said it perfectly, that they basically broke in and then just, took a walking tour of the Capitol building. That's not a revolution. Basically, you broke into Disney World and just went on all the rides.
It could have turned bloody really easily, though.
For the record, I'm not saying that I wanted the revolution to be well executed.
I don't think anybody thinks that.
It was a fucking revolution orchestrated by Trump. It was never going to be well executed. Nothing this man does is well executed.
I guess we shouldn't say revolution.
Insurrection?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they called it. They called it an insurrection.
They wanted
it to be a revolution, but they didn't have a dictionary, so they didn't know what that word meant.
Well, good luck to them in, federal prison. I feel like, I would be really embarrassed if I had gone. If I had been a fan or a, insurrectionist / revolutionary, and I had gone and participated in that, and marched around with a gun looking for Nancy Pelosi so we could blow her head off in a public execution, or looking for AOC so I could throw her off the Capitol building, blah, blah, blah. And if we had failed at that in the spectacular way that we did,
that's
on national television, that'd be so embarrassing.
Honestly, that's because you have common sense. Mm-hmm. They for whatever reason, don't view it as a failure. They view themselves as martyrs for the cause. What cause? I don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. But
they
view themselves.
They have different things that they're passionate about, too.
Apparently.
He doesn't stand for anything. He's just saying the things that he knows will make them happy.
Yeah. He's a con man.
Yeah.
That's what he does. That's how he got here. That's why he shouldn't have been allowed in fucking office in the first place, because you can't have somebody in office that stands for nothing except for making everyone around him support him, because that's
one
not...
One could say that he is one of the most successful grifters that has ever existed.
Oh, definitely. Definitely one of the most successful grifters. I can't think of another.
Mm.
I mean
you have those
technically
short-lived ones,
speaking, Hitler? You get somebody to get behind your cause that, a specific type of person is the, homo superior. Meanwhile, you're not that thing at all. But
the thing is, he had a lot of wild beliefs. Hitler was, I think, mentally ill in many ways. Not only that he aspired to these Aryan ideals, or that he subscribed to this Übermensch, idea, but just that he had these thoughts and was sociopathic enough to use them to his political advantage, and then implement programs that literally killed millions of people and sent his own country
into a war.
Into a giant war that would end with him blowing his brains out.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You've got to believe at least some of it.
Yeah. But one more thing about this, and then we're going to get off of the political topic, because we've been here for fucking ever. How did he pull that off? How do you get an entire, nation of people to believe that blonde-haired, blue-eyed people are the superior people, and that's who should be in charge, when you are really scrawny, black-haired, brown-eyed? How did someone not kill him for not being what is supposed to be,
Well, Trump isn't representative of his demographic either. He's not, he's not a... He's a one percenter, essentially, or maybe a 10%er. I don't truly know his net worth. But he is not the everyman, and it is the everyman that he's trying to appeal to, the radical one, right? So Hitler's success was his ability in oration and communication, and his ability in, you know, bringing in people who could all unite under a certain ideal under a tough situation. Germany had just lost World War I. They were in intensely dire financial straits. There was famine, and there were populations coming in from outside of Germany. There were hundreds and hundreds of years of culturally ingrained racism against gypsies, gays, Jews, super common even now.
Unfortunately.
So stupid.
Very.
And you have a huge population of, you know, naturally born Germans who stereotypically have Aryan qualities, and you have this theory of the Übermensch, the perfect German human, or the perfect human, and this weird undercurrent in the radical fascist side that person is the one who will, you know, be the world leader and will lead Germany back to a place of prestige that they had been used to but no longer had. It's very much what motivated China to pull up its bootstraps and be this big superpower. You know, China lost a lot in World War II, and they had to bring themselves back, right? And they did in spectacular fashion.
Extremely fucking spectacular.
Good job, China, you terrifying, racist, genocidal country, you. But, you know, I guess a little genocide is all it takes to make a world superpower. Looking at you, America. So, essentially, Hitler played on people's fears, spoke towards them, and validated their fears, saying that, oh, it's not your fault that you are in poverty and hungry and suffering and in want of a job. It is the fault of the Jews. It is the fault of the immigrants and vagrants, the gypsies, who are bringing criminal aspects to our perfect country that doesn't have any criminal aspects inherent to it, but all of that comes from the outside. All of the bad is the outsider. And if we can just get the outsider out, then we can finally be our perfect selves as Germany. And so it was this long stream of identifying who is that outsider. And at first, the outsider might be maybe a few people, like a political dissonance, and might be like a couple of very radical, you know, leftists.
Mm-hmm.
As fascist campaigns go, they like to expand bit by bit. So then they go after the blacks, and then they go after the Jews, and then they go after the everybody. Man, pretty soon you're going to run out of demographics to go after to unite a population against a common enemy, and you're going to whittle yourself into a perfect fascist campaign. And I think that's what Trump tried to do with the United States, with the help of Russia.
Mm. Thank God he was too stupid to succeed.
I don't know. He's not failed yet. He's still alive. We have to get to the point where he blows his brains out too, I think. Otherwise, this will never be over. Katanas. Figuratively speaking.
Katanas, that's all I have to say. But moving on from this topic. We had a talk earlier about video games as a child.
Oh, yeah.
And the difference between who we are now and who we were back then.
Mm. And so, wait. You never told me. What was your favorite childhood video game that if you played now, you would think, what the fuck am I doing?
Where are we cutting off, like, age-wise for this? Because I've literally been playing video games since I was, like, 3.
No cutoff, but what comes to mind first?
So back when I was, like, a little kid, there was, like, this Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck game for Sega.
That's adorable. Go on.
If I was to play it now, I think I would have to play it like in a corner, in like a cabin in the woods somewhere. It's not a bad game. It's just, it's such a for kids game. But yeah, it's, if I was to play it right now, I would make sure nobody ever knew that I did it. And anybody that did know, I would have to murder them in their sleep.
More Catan. I played those games too. Like the, there was that fish game, Freddy the Fish or something, and his turquoise friend. And there was Putt-Putt the Car.
Yeah.
It was purple, but you could color him other colors in some of the games. But still, the childhood game that comes to mind for me is Parappa the Rappa.
Well, you can't be embarrassed by playing Parappa the Rapper.
I'm just saying, like, if I tried to sit down and play it today, I wouldn't have fun.
But Rachel, kick, punch, kick. Punch, kick, punch.
I feel like my brain cells are melting every time I think about it.
I never got past that level because I just started laughing.
Onion sensei.
I fucking love Onion sensei.
Yeah. That's prime childhood game, though. Just prime.
And it was actually prime, like, video game time, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, like, PlayStation actually wasn't supposed to happen. Sony was trying to work with Nintendo to make a disc add-on for the N64, and Nintendo just ended up not going along with it. So, Sony was like, you know what? You don't want to play ball? Then we'll just do it ourselves. And that's how the PlayStation came. So, if Sony and Nintendo work together, then we don't get a PlayStation.
And then we don't get cool borders, too.
We don't.
The world was better off.
Yes, yes it was. This is the better video game timeline. The rest of the world I'm not so sure about, but this is the better video game timeline.
You know, one I never played was the Tony Hawk games.
I literally played all of them up until they got ridiculous.
I heard they're good.
Oh no, they're good. But like, I think once you get to like the PS3 one, I think it was just like, you guys lost what you had somewhere along the way.
It stopped being special because Tony Hawk got old, yeah.
Not even sure if it's because it got old. It's just like the games were just different.
Oh, I mean the person.
Oh. No, no. If they made a Tony Hawk game now that was like similar in feel to the old ones, I'd play it.
Make a Tony Hawk game. Listen, game developers. Make a Tony Hawk game that plays like the recent Spider-Man game.
Oh my. Ooh.
And he's still like grinding off of buildings, and like he's still like jumping and doing crazy things, but he fights crime.
That'd be fucking fantastic. I would play that.
100%. This would be a blockbuster.
If it plays like the Spider-Man games, that'd be great, because they play fucking fantastic. You need to work for them.
Who?
Whoever's gonna make this game. I don't.
I'm just an ideas person. I'm putting that idea into the universe. Feel free to take it. This is me signing off on the idea for free for you.
I'm gonna write this idea up, and I'm gonna send it to PlayStation personally. I'm gonna handwrite this note.
Awesome. I feel like I have a lot of ideas for things that I would personally want to see or watch or play. But I don't want to be the person who makes it, because then I can't have that moment of pure discovery and enjoyment that you get in a new game or a new movie. Like, when I enjoy media, I want to sit down and be shocked and amazed at the universe that is opening in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know what's about to happen because I've written that. And that's why I could never be a creator. I'm just a full-on consumer. It's disgusting and very hedonistic, and I love it.
I mean, it makes sense. But, yeah, I think that's going to be our time. This was a very packed episode full of things that we didn't know we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we didn't stick to the outline at all.
I mean, we only missed one thing from the outline, somehow. Like, we talked about most of the things we wanted to talk about, and that's what we strive for in this podcast.
To talk about most of the things.
We normally end up talking about most of it, and then at some point, something that we talk about leads to a tangent that leads to a tangent that leads to a tangent. that leads to a random thought that also leads to a tangent. But that's what we do. That's what this is about. It's about talking about what comes to mind, for the most part, with a rough outline.
One thing that comes to mind is we didn't talk about one thing. Yasmin isn't here today.
Mm-hmm.
We missed each other today.
Yeah.
She couldn't come in, but, you know, we're sending her love.
As always.
And energy. And lots of Hershey's kisses.
Oh, now I'm hungry. I'm gonna get food after this. But yeah, always thoughts and love to Yasmin for not being able to be here.
Yeah. You're here in spirit.
As always. And you will be here in the beginning of this video as you video.
I constantly feel the presence of a panda behind me. It's definitely Yasmin.
I feel the presence of something behind me too, but it's just your dog clawing me in the back.
Yeah, my dog is sleeping on top of Jules. It's really funny.
He's been there for, like, the last 15 minutes.
Mm.
He keeps, like, kicking in his sleep, and he just, like, keeps kicking me in the back, and I'm just like, okay, Magnus, I guess.
My dog is an asshole.
A little bit.
It's pretty great.
But, we're gonna sign off for today. Hopefully next time we can get the whole crew back together. Possibly from Scenic Rachel's basement.
We need, we need to get the full crew. You, me, Yasmin, and Alphonse in Fonsus.
That would be cool. That would definitely have to be in your basement.
Yeah. you should see the state of the basement. If you think this floor has a lot of shit on the floor, the basement is a disaster area.
I personally don't think there's a lot of shit on the floor, but then again, you're a little more of a, like, neat freak than I am.
I'm not a neat freak.
Than I am. But, yeah, we're going to sign off for now. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully we can get another episode out soon-ish. Fuck my job, because it's probably going to be the reason why we don't. Actually, it's definitely going to be the reason why we don't. I don't know why I said probably.
Yeah. It could also be my job.
True.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be my job.
We leave you with this. Only you can defeat fascism.
With a katana and a flamethrower.